practical observations about the humanity of Jesus that you might find helpful. Jesus had human ancestry, and so have we. All of us have or had a mother and a father, two sets of grandparents, four sets of great-grandparents, and so on, even if we have no idea who they were. One of my hobbies is researching my ancestry. And although my mother was Scottish, my father was born and raised in County Durham. In fact, not very far from where Pastor David comes from. And quite a few of my forebears lived in Northumberland. So although I have a Scottish accent, I really am a local. Oh, and by the way, one of my ancestors in the 19th century, after she was widowed, she remarried, and she married a guy who had a chemist's shop in Finkel Street, right here in Alnwick. And apparently he also had another shop in Narrowgate. Well, Jesus may not have had a chemist in his family tree, but like many of us, he certainly had a mixed bag of ancestors. When you read his family line at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, you'll come across all sorts of people. You'll come across men of faith, tender-hearted people, upright kings. You'll also meet wicked kings, a cheat, a murderer, a child sacrificer. Now, Jesus could have chosen to place himself in a family line where all its members were godly, upright people who lived their lives to the highest possible standard. But he didn't do this. He chose a family line where probably every wrongdoing you could think of was represented. Although the Lord Jesus Christ was completely sinless, his ancestry certainly wasn't. And again, this just blows me away to think that the Holy One of God was prepared to identify with broken, messed up people to such an extent that he willingly placed himself in their family line. So Jesus had human ancestry. Jesus also had a human body, and so do we. The Bible tells us he grew, he got hungry, thirsty, tired, experienced pain, all these things that are common to us. By taking on human form, he identified with us. He lived among people and he died among people. And it was his humanity that enabled him to die in our place so that we might be forgiven and brought into a right relationship with him. And it was his deity that qualified him to open heaven's gate so that we might enter in and live with him forever. So Jesus had human ancestry, so have we. Jesus had human body, so have we. And Jesus experienced human temptation, and so do we. We read in the New Testament book of Hebrews that Jesus understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings or temptations that we do, yet he did not sin. Isn't this amazing? You see, Jesus knows the brokenness of the human condition. And I find this is so comforting that he has experienced every temptation that comes our way, but he didn't give in to any of them. He knows exactly what we are going through when a temptation tries to drag us down. But he didn't yield to any of the temptations, which means he was able to offer himself as the perfect sacrifice for all our sins, all our failures, all our shortcomings. And if you read in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 4, you come across some of the temptations that Jesus faced. And I find it quite interesting to notice that he overcame these temptations by using two powerful resources that are available to us: the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus also prayed a lot. And I wonder if one of the things he regularly asked his Heavenly Father for was power to resist temptation. And we can do this too. We can pray in advance of a temptation so that we're not caught out when it suddenly appears before us. Pray in advance against a temptation. We can quote the Word of God. There are many particularly relevant and appropriate pieces of scripture that we can quote when a temptation comes up against us. And we can draw on the power of the Holy Spirit, who is within every follower of Jesus. I hope you find that comforting. I find that really, really very helpful. So Jesus became human. If we move on to the second part.